Well, we have now reached the last chapter in this particular subject of recruitment management. This chapter, we are going to look at the role of induction process in recruitment and selection. Now, many people they think that recruitment and selection only encompasses recruiting process, which is sourcing for employees, as we have seen, to develop an employee pool, and then subsequently selecting, that is reducing the number of people as the stages move on. Like you might have some selection tests, prior to that you might have pre-screening, post the selection test you might have interview rounds, and post that a person is inducted when an offer is made. But they fail to realize that an important and essential part of this particular process is the process of induction. And many surveys have found out that the maximum people to come out of a company or to leave a company or leave a job are those people who are new employees. So the induction process is very instrumental in developing the right bonds between the organization and this new employee. A new employee needs to be made comfortable, needs to be made aware of the cultural differences that exist between him and the company, and how well can a person adopt to the cultural differences of that particular organization. So induction basically is an orientation process in which the person is made aware of the norms of the company, the policies and procedures, and various other things. Let us look at the objectives first to understand this chapter. In this we are going to understand from the following slides why an induction program is required or necessary. So as I mentioned, an induction program is a necessity. It comes at the end of a recruitment and selection cycle and is extremely important so that a person is made aware of the culture of any organization. So we are going to discuss this in depth. We are also going to look at the objectives and the benefits of an induction program. So basically, an induction program serves several objectives. These objectives are organizational objectives. These objectives are objectives looked at by the new employee, and also the benefits. Now, induction program serves several benefits. It serves benefits like orienting a person towards his new job or her new job, making them understand the policies of the company. If there is a dress code, what is that? Making them understand the backup policies, making them understand the various departments that exist, and the broad culture. So it serves a lot of benefits that we shall understand. And of course, the various elements of an induction kit. So there is a kit presented. So what are those particular, how is it prepared? What are the benefits? So we are going to look at all these particular aspects in this last chapter, that is the induction program. Let's now look at the introductory slide. So basically, here we are going to look at an introduction to the induction process. Many of us are employed or have been a part of multinational companies or Indian companies and have been through this particular process of induction. In fact, having worked for several MNCs, I have been a part of all their induction programs. Companies like Wipro, companies like Cummins, these companies prominently have a two-day induction program in which various departmental heads or representatives who are considered as expert in those departments, they come and they have short sessions which inform the employee of what lies ahead, what the company is like, what are the policies, what are the procedures. So ideally, it's an orientation. So here we have induction is equal to orientation. So induction is nothing but what are the practices of a company, what is the culture. We are getting oriented to those particular aspects through induction. A few layman definitions of induction. So this process can be defined as a process of introducing the employee who is newly elected to the organization. So the senior members of the department, they will ideally introduce this person to the various people in the department so that the new person gets comfortable, becomes aware of the new bosses, the new colleagues, the new processes. An induction program, another definition is, may be conducted at a particular center for all employees at different places for different, or at different places for different employees. Now, the places where I attended induction programs, there were people from different departments in the same program. It consisted of a 50 members group of newly recruited people, varied from operations people to people from HR to people joining in from different projects to people joining in from research and development and so on. So there was a wide variety of people who came in from different areas working for the same organization. So either that can happen, or people, if a lot of people join in from one department, maybe they can be put into different places, you know, or induction can be completed at different places for different, you know, a specific set of people. Now that we have understood what induction is, it's equal to, or induction is an orientation program. Now let us look at the key components, how the induction program starts with. It's basically an introduction session. This session consists about knowledge about the company. Now the company, the organization might consist of several branches. So here you look, there's the kind of branches or the number of branches. So information on the brief history, this can be done in a chronological manner, that is, what were the views of the mission, the views, the goals of the founding people of the organization, where did the company start, which year, what were the progressions that happened in terms of key employees joining in, key processes happening, a year, a dateline wherein you know, the key milestones were achieved. What is the present outlook? What is the number? What is the strength of, you know, people that are working? What is the hierarchical structure? Who heads the company? And what is the organizational structure look like? The number of products that are created through the company, or the number of services that are provided, that is, the number of processes that exist in the particular company. The number of countries that this particular company operates in. If they have foreign branches, what are those branches? If this is not the headquarters, what is the headquarters? What are the key branches? The organizational structure, the culture, the values and beliefs, the names of top management personnel, etc. So all this information pertaining to the company. Apart from this, the kind of processes that are run in the company, the banking details, that is, a specific bank account will be created. The quality related practices might also be explained to this particular, you know, newly joined employees. Introduction also happens as a part of the induction process. Post a formal induction, the first few weeks, the people who are senior in the department, they are the ones who liaise, they are the ones who connect with this particular new employee. They make the new employee aware of certain things. They allocate some of the buddies or the spokes for these people. They introduce them to departmental people and so on. So introduction is an important and a prime objective of the induction process. And the regular people, the senior people who've done this kind of introduction, they regularly stay in touch with the new employee in the first week. The objective behind this is that they would like the new employee to be comfortable with the environment, since it's a new environment for this particular employee. So they want the new employee to be comfortable. They want the new employee to develop a good rapport with the people, and so that it results in a long-term and a fruitful association between this employee and the organization. Another important reason for staying in touch is because it is found, if people are not, you know, they cannot agree with the culture, if they do not agree with the people or cannot connect with the people, these are the people who will leave. And in a recent survey, it was found that new employees are the ones who are most prone to resign from the organization because of the disconnect between them and the organizational culture. Let's move on. Yes, this is a point which I just stated in the previous slide. Most labor turnover is among these new employees. So turnover is nothing but the attrition that occurs, the resignations that occur within the labor, within the employees. And this happens ideally amongst the new employees. By planning an induction program in consultation with the trade union or other representatives, a lot of these problems will be reduced. People will be able to understand the culture. People will be able to understand what the company stands for, that is, its mission, its vision, its goals, objectives, and culture, so that people can easily get aligned to this culture at a very early stage, at a formative stage, so that employees do not resign because of the lack of the culture. A good induction program makes business sense, whatever the size of the organization and whatever the job. So, if perfectly planned induction program is put into after the recruitment and selection, it actually makes sense. It actually makes a person understand what are their requirements, what are the kind of processes, where do they lie right now, and other things. It introduces the newcomer not only to the immediate colleagues but to other workers with whom they have less day-to-day contact, including some of the trade union representatives or employee representatives or any staff committee or council. So they become aware of any support mechanism. They are made aware of the HR people. So if they have any issues related to operational problems or operational related issues, whom can they find support from? So they might find support from the trade union representatives or the employee representatives or any staff committee or council or the HR department. So basically, these people, they get to understand which department does what function, how are they directly or indirectly linked to these kind of departments, what is the kind of support that these people can gather from such unions or such bodies which are present in the organization, and of course, important and vital information like banking information. Now, initially, when an employee joins an organization, the first thing that the person would like to know is what is the payment cycle? That is, what is the salary? When is the salary due in the next month? Is it on the 1st? Is it on the 7th? When is it? What kind of debit or ATM card would the person receive? What would be the mode of payment? Would it be a bank transfer or a check? Normally, people on contract, they get a check, but people who are on the rolls, they get a direct bank transfer. So what is the formalities? What are the formalities that need to be completed in this particular process? So all these activities in their entirety are covered in the induction process. Hence, this addresses the need for the induction process. Here we continue with the need. However keen the new recruits may be, they may be anxious about how well they will. There are certain factors where anxiety is created, where a sense of excitement is created when a person joins a new and is new in the organization. Those are would they be able to get on with their co-workers? What do their co-workers look like? What are the skills and competencies that these co-workers possess? Another thing is understand the standards and rules, certain written and certain unwritten of the organization. So does the organization have a set uniform? Many organizations of the manufacturing background have a set uniform. So these are certain written rules. Many of them have a dress code. IT companies probably from Monday through a Thursday wear formal attire. On a Friday, they can come in business casuals. So there are many such rules regarding the integrity of data. Importantly, in ITES and IT companies, they look at security of data, they look at certain compliance standards, certain backup practices, certain authentication, certain confidentiality related things. So all these standards and rules one must be made aware of, and they form a basis of excitement or anxiety amongst the new recruits. Apart from this, would they be able to make a good impression on their new manager or supervisor? And would they have the requisites to be able to execute a new process or a new job? So these elements of excitement, these elements of enthusiasm always play on the mind of the new recruits. And if no induction process is present, then all these concerns, they are, you know, they are unaddressed, they are left unaddressed, and then these eat away into the minds of people. Hence, if these things are addressed at the recruit, sorry, at the orientation or the induction level, then these people, their concerns are answered. Let's move on. Now, what are the objectives? There are certain goals kept in mind by the organization. There are certain objectives that a particular organization has in mind when it comes to inducting people into any given organization. So these organizations vary as per organization to organization, these objectives vary. But a standard consensus here would be the orientation or induction is the first important step in the process of the human resource management. Well, as I have stated in an earlier slide in this chapter, the recruitment and selection process is the first few steps that a person takes towards joining an organization. The offer letter makes it official, makes a person official in the organization. Post that, the person has a lot of inquisitiveness, has a lot of inquiry in their minds, and this is taken care of by the induction, which is the first process or first step in the process of HRM or human resource management. The organization seeks to make an individual its agent for the achievement of its objectives. So basically, friends, organization is nothing but a body of individuals or a group of individuals or a team or departments which work together. So each position or each person is a part of the organization, is an entity of the organization. So they need to achieve the objectives. Hence, in order for people to be, you know, to be enhanced, in order for people to facilitate this objective achievement, they need to be oriented or they need to have a proper induction program. The new employees should be oriented, as I said, to the organization and its policies, rules and regulations. So a complete understanding of the organizational features needs to be recognized, needs to be understood in this particular aspect. So that's the reason why an orientation program or an induction program is required or is important. Now, another objective is to develop a feeling of loyalty. The employee should understand that the organization is a place which is open to work with. There is a good amount of interpersonal communication which happens here. The departments are friendly in nature. So all this develops a trust in the mind of the prospective employee who's just joined in, and of course a feeling of loyalty starts developing. Another objective is to foster a close and cordial relationship among the employees. So people outside the department are also introduced at times to this particular person in the orientation, and it helps in creating that particular cordial bond or relationship. It also creates, you know, or helps to sell or market the organization in another fashion. So you can state the milestones that the organization has achieved, what are the success metrics of the organization, how it stands out amongst the competitors. All these things can be showcased in a very nice manner while completing the induction. Also, a knowledge of the facilities, as we've stated before, the rules about the organization are made, you know, are understood by these employees through induction. So these are some of the broad objectives of the induction. Some more are taking the new employees around the factory and offices of the company, so that the person is introduced to several departments, is aware of the premises of the company. Lectures and discussions also can be attended. So certain discussions, certain lectures which are important, so senior people can accompany this new employee on these particular sessions. The person is also provided with handbooks, manuals and certain pamphlets. So if they are joining into a particular process, they probably might be given these kind of literature for them to understand and study. Well, through this particular diagrammatic representation, we shall quickly enlist a few of the things that are part of the objectives of the induction. The information provided to the new employees during the orientation process may include the brief history of the company, the company's organizational structure, the location of the departments and employee facilities, the personal policies and practices, the rules and regulations that are a part of the organization, the employee activities, the procedures related to grievances, safety measures, and any standing order. So all these important elements are a part of the orientation or the induction process. They encapsulated into that process. These give a heads up, or these proactively inform the employee of what kind of things lie ahead, how a person is specifically supposed to behave in this particular organization, what are the things that he or she needs to adhere to as a part of performing effectively in the organization. So these are some basic things told in a proactive manner, that is immediately when a person joins, so that the person becomes aware of the do's and don'ts, of the priorities, the urgent things, and certain things related to the policy and safety. Now, in this particular slide, we're looking at the key importance, things, the key tips as a part of the objectives of the induction. This orientation program, which is done at the start of the career of any employee, ideally should not be very lengthy, and it need not necessarily be given on the same day when the employee joins the organization. So this is an important thing that needs to be kept in mind, that the employee should not be bombarded with a lot of information about the company, because he or she will not be able to retain all this information at the same time. A lot of times people or resources might not be available when people join, so probably it would be a good idea clubbing people after they've joined. So it may be given formally for some after some time. Also, in case of small firms, the induction is likely to be more informal and of a shorter duration. A smaller organization will have less number of functions, there will be less formalities included, so it will be informal, more of an informal affair, provided probably in a few hours or in just a day or so. Well, it's a contrasting picture in the big organizations, where it is more of a formal type and of longer duration, which may extend up to 2 or 4 weeks. So if there are many processes, if there are many aspects about the organization which need to be informed to the person who's joining, in that case, then this might last, as stated, for 2 to 4 weeks. Orientation programs may also be in the form of providing induction training to new employees, where they are familiarized with the work environment and the fellow employees. The new employees are taught basic techniques or methods to do the work for which they recruited, etc. So this might metamorphose into a training to the new employees on the hands-on skills required in any given job for which they have been recruited. Now let us look at the benefits of induction, primarily what the need is. The induction and orientation training programs for new employees are essential these days for all employees, in order to ensure that the new employee can adapt to the new working environment fast, with considerable amount of ease and comfort. So it's extremely critical. We've discussed this, in fact, but it's really important. So this is a reiterative slide. As a part of benefits of induction, let us discuss some more benefits. The induction program creates a positive perception of the organization. The employees recognize that the organization actually cares. There is a certain sense of welcome for them when they join the organization. There is no indifference. The person is made, you know, to look special, as many people discuss things with them. They are introduced to important people in the organization. So it creates a positive perception of the organization and an understanding of the corporate culture, the values, the vision, the vision, the mission, and the goals. It can also set a precedent for ongoing training by showing the employee that the organization is serious about developing their skills to perform the job competently. So a brief glimpse about certain advanced training programs can also be provided with the help of this mechanism, in which people would be encouraged, would be motivated, would be told that they would receive high class training, that they've joined the right place. So a good amount of reinforcement into the values, the benefits of the company are provided here. It can be instrumental in helping in motivating the existing employees who are included in the process. So people who are experts in their process can represent the process, can help explain to the new employees what their process is all about, creating a sense of pride, creating a sense of motivation. A good induction program can also help in cutting down the recruitment costs, as new staff is more likely to give long-term commitment to the organization. Some of them might be so impressed that they might provide certain referrals. So the HR and the recruitment people can also be a part of this process, are part, active part of this process in many organizations, where they introduce people to innovative means of earning incentives through referring their buddies, through referring their friends, and thus getting a certain remuneration either in financial or non-financial terms for themselves. They can also benefit from insights, that is from the insights, the objectivity and fresh ideas of a new employee. Interaction with such new employees can help the existing employees create a better vision, broaden their horizons. So this is definitely a benefit to the employees and the company. On the employee, it is logically known that they can give new insights onto how the company is perceived externally. So they can inform people about the kind of image that the company possesses outside, externally, on the outside. Here we shall continue with some more benefits. The employees basically feel welcomed and comfortable. Thus, important relationships are built right at the onset of employment. It helps to build self-esteem, morale, and motivation. It confirms the employee's decision to join the organization. So, once things are explained well, the employee feels good about the organization and is able to rejoice in the right decision, that they've taken the right decision. The orientation program establishes a good communication and relationship between the employee and the supervisor from the very first day, and of course makes the employee familiar with the corporate environment, with the rules, systems and regulations. So in turn, these are a lot of things that the employee benefits from as a part of the induction program. So these were some of the benefits. In this slide we have discussed about the benefits to employees. In the previous slide we have discussed benefits to the company. Well, with this we conclude this particular chapter. That was the last chapter that we've seen. Here we have seen the importance of the induction process, also known as the orientation process. We have seen how it actually, what is the need for this process to exist, how it actually benefits both the company as well as the employee. We've seen important parts of the induction process, and we've also seen why it is actually very important for it to exist as a part of every organization. So thus we have completed this particular chapter, and we have also completed this particular subject about recruitment management. Well, a quick summary of the subject before we close. I believe this discussion was an impactful discussion. It was instrumental in understanding various concepts and various details related to recruitment management. In fact, the first chapter we started with the introduction to this particular process. We've looked at recruitment as a particular process. Also, we've seen in the same chapter the selection. The next chapter we focused on was to understand the Indian perspective. Being in India, it's extremely important to understand the kind of changes happening, the kind of new strategies being adopted, new technologies being adopted by recruiters in India, how they are coping with the dynamic changes happening on a global level. The next chapter we've looked at is the sources of recruitment. Highly, we categorize them into two broad classifications or categories, the internal as well as the external sources. We've also seen how we are able to differentiate from them. We have also seen what are the exact sources internally as well as externally, and when to use these kind of sources. The next chapter we focused on was the recruitment process. So right from shortlisting, sorry, from posting the advertising to shortlisting, all that goes into the recruitment process. We've seen how the job description and job analysis is of a great importance, and how that helps while we post a job advertisement. What are the specifics required there, and so on. The next chapter that we looked at was in terms of the critical essentials of recruitment. What are the actual requirements in recruitment? How recruitment happens as a process we've seen. The next is the use of technology. So enhancing this process. Today, many processes in the organization are enhanced by technology. So recruitment is also no different. It is also a party to enhancement through technology. Here we've seen how the social media plays an important part, how various software applications such as the applicant tracking system, also the passing software, also cloud computing tools, how they actually help recruitment, how they save time and efforts, and how they improve specifically developing this particular process. The next chapter we saw was the innovative recruitment practices, the heavy use of social media, which has been there for a good 4 or 5 years now. Prominent sites such as Facebook, such as Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn, we've discussed them in detail. We've looked at how they actually help us move our search beyond the job portals, how they help us to find candidates who, although some of them might be passive, but yet they are more relevant candidates. So we've looked at that particular angle as well. In the next chapter, that is chapter number 8, we focused on the selection process. So what are the elements that we need to consider in the selection process? What are the various processes that go in developing this? We've seen this selection as a more specific process, sometimes having a negative overtone because the number of people go on dwindling in the selection process. We've had a good glimpse at the kind of pre-screening that happens. We've had a good glimpse at how selection is different from recruitment. We've had a glimpse of the kind of tests that are employed and the various occupations for which these tests need to be administered. We've also looked at a brief glimpse into the process of interviewing as a part of the selection process. Interviewing, we looked at in the 9th chapter as well. In the techniques, here we've dealt more or shed more light into interviewing by looking at the 9th chapter, techniques for effective interviewing. In this particular chapter, we looked at the different types of interviews, what are the prerequisites for an interview, what are the phases of an interview, that is before the interview, during and post the interview. We also saw what are the ideal characteristics of a good recruiter, what should be included to make a recruitment so interview effective. So that is what we've seen in the 10th chapter. Hiring strategies for members from the senior management for executives was the title provided to chapter 10. So along with the other hiring structure, we also saw how hiring happens through retained executive search agencies. What is their role? How they provide a liaised, how they liaise with organizations, provide a partnered approach. We also have seen what are the requirements that a company needs to provide to such people to retain talent, to grow talent, to invite or to attract talent. We also see, have seen some of the surveys in which work-life balance, as well as the employee relationship, that was a few of the things, the important things, along with certain enhancement programs for such people that become factors for retention of senior management. We've also seen confidentiality and being sensitive as two important elements in such type of recruitments. Finally, we have in this chapter, before we just summarize the entire subject, discussed as to what is the role played by the induction or the orientation programs. So the endeavor here, friends, has been to showcase elements of recruitment management in a holistic manner, to try and cover each aspect of this broad process, which is a kind of an umbrella or a superset for different subsets like the selection process, the process of interview, the process of induction. So I believe that this entire discussion, the video discussion along with the diagrammatic slides, have in fact shed a lot of light, have provided a lot of insight into the subject of recruitment management. I would like to thank you for your participation as well, which you must have done by looking at these videos coming at this particular juncture. So thank you.